Well, listening into the back end of that conversation is our Māori Minister, the Minister of Māori Development, Tama Potaka. Tama, we were just touching on the time frame, compressed time frame for talk of amalgamation, or government would do it. I know it's slightly out of your brief, but when we touched on the Resource Management Act and how that could remove formal mana whakahona hono arohe agreements between councils and iwi, that does fall into your sort of situation as the Minister for Māori Development. So if you'd be kind enough, we might start there. Thanks for joining us, Tama. Tēnā koe.
Nga mihi o te ata, and again, caught me after breakfast, Dale.
Good on you, mate.
Great timing.
Okay, good. Well, I hope your belly's full so your decision-making is clear and concise. So there are many of our people across the country who are concerned about the resource management changes and how these established relationships with councils could be compromised as a result. I mean, you want us all to go forward positively. What's your take on the Resource Management Act removing formal mana whakahono arohe agreements?
Well, first of all, Dale, we are going through a review of the resource management legislation and trying to make it easier for landowners, including Māori landowners and others, to do things on their own property. So removing red tape, green tape, and trying to make it easier. And a great example of that is the NES for Papakāinga, enabling Māori landowners to build Papakāinga without having to run off to council to ask for, you know, six visits and a few compliance check-offs. The mana whakahono agreements across the country, there were about eight when the process started of reviewing the Resource Management Act, and quite a few have been initialled or signed since then, but cabinets came to a decision that it was important to move forward without those agreements. There's been some genuine concern. I've got a lot of advocacy, not just from iwi leaders, but also many others who consider those agreements have progressed and gone okay, but the Cabinet has made a call, and ultimately Minister Bishop is carrying that reform through. What's important for me is that we continue to have positive, constructive relationships between groups, whether or not they're iwi, hapu, marae, whānau, and councils, to make sure we can do things and get on and, you know, build more resilience into marae and enable homes and developments to be built.
Well, it might cut some red tape, and I noticed that you say that it allows opportunities for papakāinga development. The Resource Management Act has also been a vehicle for us to challenge inappropriate construction or developments on sensitive land, impacts on waterways, environmental degradation, etc. So by removing our opportunity to utilise our perspectives in that way, doesn't it make sense that proposals that go against our cultural expectations are getting streamlined and a vehicle to create roadblocks or reconsideration are being removed?
I understand the rub of your concern, and that's very genuine and meaningful. Minister Bishop has articulated that there will be a pathway around participation agreements, but also emphasising that pā sites and wāhi tapu and other matters will be supported, as well as upholding treaty settlements and settlement obligations. Now, I don't think I'm in a binary discussion about all those matters, because my sense is that with the resource management reform, those things that are of significance and cultural importance will be upheld. They will be protected and supported.
Tēnā koe. The other issue on the table is the AI data centres. Now, we've spoken about environmental concerns. Would Māori have, in resource management or regional council perspectives, an ability to also challenge some of the aspects of the establishment? The pollution from data centres, the sound emissions, etc., and potential impacts on the environment. It sort of brings into focus our treaty rights in a way that we feel that at times are being seriously compromised. Do you favour the Resource Management Act and having Māori perspectives contained within, or are you okay that Māori perspectives are sidelined?
Well, I don't think it's as polarised as you described, Dale, as Minister Bishop has articulated and set out in a variety of commentaries. There is a very clear pathway to ensure not only protection of those matters of significance, cultural significance and cultural importance, but also more formalised agreements. And AI centres, data centres, actually developments generally happen at a localised level. So in some instances, I expect that those matters will be given a higher elevation and higher consideration. In other areas, it might not be as high. I think the idea that we're going to have a pause and don't do anything and don't move forward with development of AI centres and or data centres is a bit short-sighted. What's important is that there is the opportunity for people to undertake that sort of development that can massively improve our productivity, and it could actually take place on Māori land, just as solar power farms and other developments are taking place on Māori land. Sure, we've seen some challenges to the environmental impacts over times, and people have adjusted, but there's significant development happening on Māori land throughout the country, whether or not it's geothermal, solar farming, cherry orchards, a whole range of initiatives, and they need to meet and comply with the standards and the legislative and regulatory regimes at that time.
This bloke, soon to be leader of the National Party, Bishop, that you keep referring to, he said that you've got 3 months for councils to make a decision on amalgamation or else he's going to step in. Hasn't that 3 months passed?
Look, I'm not across the specific dates exactly or the process there. It's just slightly as I've described it and you described it. They were out of my immediate bailiwick. I'd have to look a bit more closely at that issue and then come back to you maybe next week. But certainly there is a drive and a motivation to ensure that not only central government but also local government works efficiently, as I'm sure you have an expectation that tribal and pan-tribal Māori governance and management works efficiently as well.
Tēnā koe. Some of the neat things that you've been involved in the past week, please.
Last Friday, I had a huge day left Hamilton, Kirikiriro at 6 a.m. I went up to Tāmaki Makaurau, flew to Kirikiri and caught up with Ngāti Rere here, who are constructing and building about 80 homes up in Kirikiri. Excellent work undertaken by Whati Rāmeka and others on behalf of Whānora and Matua Kupa Munro, local leaders at Ngāti Rere here. Then over to Kai Kohe, where Te Hauora o Ngāpui, Tia Ashby, Nicole Anderson and others are building 100 homes for Te Hauora o Ngāpui that will be affordable rental homes. Going really, really well. Sometimes weather intersects with construction timetables, but really good, and expect all of those will be completed by around July next year, providing affordable homes for people on the ground in Kaihokui. And it's great to see that many, a couple of hundred people turned up looking for jobs in their job day. Over to Opunoni and Omapere to hear some of the concerns around land development and also see some of the pretty challenging housing in places like Whirinaki and Waimā. Good to know that Te Pauahi o Tai Tokerau are helping the Waimā Tōpū B Trust to build about 1920 homes through there, Chris McDonald and others. And then off to the Tohunga Tūmo and Whangarei, where Dewi Spragan and many other Tohunga Ringawera, responsible for one of the most delectable and delicious kai that I've ever tasted, before I got back in the car and went home and got home at 12:30 back in Kirikiriroa. It was a big day, but really celebration of Māori expertise and Māori aspirations for our whānau and for our communities.
Tēnā koe. While it's encouraging to see 200 homes being built by Māori hands, does it help in home ownership with the shared equity models part of the framework of these developments, or have our iwi become landlords to our own?
Well, some iwi are landlords, and some iwi are right into and committed to building mixed tenure models where you have some affordable rentals, some social housing, and also some progressive home ownership and equity opportunities. Kawerau Ora, for example, is doing some wonderful work in that space, whether or not it's in Napier or Taranaki or Blenheim or other places. So I think that there's a choice and optionality across the provision of housing by Māori housing providers. And one of the great things, Dale, is that with Māori housing provision, it's often more than just a house. It's a home and a community and support services that go with it at a whanaungatanga level, but also at a kaitiakitanga level. Love that word, by the way. Acknowledged as the most beautiful word in the world last week.
Oh, yeah, I noted that too, but I wondered how beautiful the people were that were making the decision about how beautiful the word was.
Well, all I can say is that I think many of our communities know how important that kaupapa, that tikanga is to our whānau and to our communities, and taking action for nature, for people, for our language is a critical component of our past, present and future.
Tēnā koe, can you pass it on to your colleagues that kaitiakitanga is the most beautiful word in the world and not profit?
I think aroha is a good one too.
Yeah, okay, I do take your point. Yep, aroha's pretty good as well. Well said. Thank you, Tama. Have a good week. Looking forward to another kōrero soon. Thank you.
Ngā mihi, kia tō te rangi Māori.
Tēnā koe, thanks.